This is the Top Video Game Podcast from HorribleNight.com. It is Thursday, October 3rd, 2013. Coming to you live on Twitch.tv/HorribleNight. I'm your host, Justin Lacey.
I'm a guest.
I have a guest. I'm so excited to have a guest. I kind of thought I went crazy last week. Man, that was... I did a solo show last week. Did you listen to any of that?
It's lowly gaming podcast.
It was. It's what I learned from that experience is it's hard to like interject random bits of humor without just like looking totally insane. I think you can.
Yes.
Like you can when you see people do the solo YouTube videos where they're doing news and that kind of thing. They help the pacing out with all their cuts and their editing and post. You can't really do that live. I'm just kind of reading through news, and I thought it was a little dry, but I did the best I could.
Those people are crazy. you showed how much better you are than them because you didn't have to cut.
I showed them. I don't know who them is, but...
you showed them, dude.
This is the interactive podcast where we ask our live chat some questions of the week, and we answer them ourselves. So if you've got your game of the week and your best and the worst, throw them in chat now, and we'll talk about them a little bit. But first, what have you been up to, Cole?
I've been watching a lot of Fringe lately. I know that show went off the air maybe a year ago, 2 years ago? I don't know.
I think two.
Two years ago. All the seasons are on Amazon Prime, and I believe Netflix as well. I've been watching them on Prime. And I really enjoy that show a lot. I watched the first two seasons when it was originally on and just kind of gave up, got out of the mode of watching weekly television shows as they aired. And so I'm rewatching the first two seasons right now, and I'm going to obviously watch the 3, 4, and 5 when I get there, but it's very similar to X-Files.
Got a guest
for me.
Say hi.
Hey,
we got a guest. Hey. Isn't it bedtime?
Hi, Lily.
Night.
Good night. I love you. See you, everybody. Say bye, internet.
Bye.
That's awesome.
I never trusted the show Fringe. I liked the first season. And then kind of going through a similar thing with Sleepy Hollow. We won't talk about your opinions of that, but I don't trust Fox to not just all of a sudden cancel it. And Fringe always seemed like it was on the fringe of
being canceled. It was the ugly stepchild of Fox. They didn't treat it with the massive promotion machines that they put behind a Bones or an American Idol or whatever else shows on Fox. It's the little show that could, and I'm really interested to get to the crazy parts of that show.
Yeah, I mean, I heard great things as it went on. So
yeah, I think they found their groove after season two.
Yeah,
kind of.
I gave up on it on season two. So
their mythological stories in terms of like they did the Monster of the Week like X-Files, but I think once they got that out of the way, I think they kind of
I've been thinking about that story. With Supernatural, where that's been going, and then. I'll bring up Sleepy Hollow again because the guys that worked on Fringe are working on Sleepy Hollow. Finding that balance of your Monster of the Week episodes with your like broader storyline, it's tough. I don't really know what the right mix is because I enjoy the Monster of the Week stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I like the aliens like in the X-Files. I like the alien storyline. So.
Yep.
I mean, although their Monster of the Weeks were awesome too. It's just a hard balance. Like, if you're putting out that many episodes, and I think that's why those shows that are 13 episodes are succeeding so much because they can tell tighter stories and they don't have to stretch.
Yeah, 25. Oh, man.
You know, I remember like watching when Battlestar Galactica came out, and they didn't really know when their end date was.
Oh yeah.
And they were kind of struggling a little bit, and they had the.
They had a whole half season on a planet.
Yeah, they had that, and then they had like the water shortage episode. Just didn't feel like it was necessary. It was just kind of, we need to have a filler episode because we need to fill, 13, 14 episodes. So I think now people are getting smarter about how they're writing the television shows. And when they're off the network, they can be way tighter. And I think that's where you're seeing a lot more successful shows like on HBO and Showtime and FX and AMC and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think the networks are starting to experiment with them too, because I know Sleepy Hollow is only 13 episodes for its season, and they just renewed it. They picked up season 2 for 13, and I think that's smart. You've got to have, like, basically a fall show and a spring show, and if they can get that figured out. I still don't think the writing of network television can get to the level of some of the cable shows, so that'll be an interesting... But hopefully, the broadcast shows get to be more interesting because of that. So,
absolutely.
So, before the show tonight, you saw our little visitor, Lily, jumped in. She's now a star thanks to that Outcast highlight of mine. I was playing with the Chromecast, which has a YouTube app, which works pretty cool with your laptop. And I was on YouTube, and I'm like, I've always been worried about kids browsing YouTube, and I was like, are there like actual channels and actual ways to find kids programming on YouTube? And so I did a couple searches, and I stumbled across They Might Be Giants has a series of podcasts for kids. They're all, like, animated songs to do with the alphabet and numbers and science. The science ones are the best, by far. And I'm guessing, but I know they were pretty close with the guys that did Homestar Runner, so I would not be surprised if they brought those guys in to do some of the animation, because they have some puppet stuff, but... I just got done watching about 20 episodes of that show. They're like 3 minutes apiece, but it was freaking adorable, and I love that band, and them having a kids show makes a hell of a lot of sense. So there is quality kids programming on YouTube. I learned that.
Awesome. That's very cool.
I did also...
That's not something that I look a lot into or even think about, so that's really cool that kind of stuff's out there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a couple lists. PBS has some stuff, but... on the adult side of things, I guess, I also checked out the second episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Have you watched?
I watched the first part of, or the first one. I think I ended up falling asleep because I was late when I was watching it, but, I don't know. It feels like I could get sucked in like Heroes and then be very disappointed.
I mean, but it's got... I thought the same thing, but you know it has Disney and Disney behind it and all the Marvel stuff.
And it has the characters, yeah.
So I like the first episode because, like, I like the setup, but holy shit. I fell asleep during the second episode. That's not a good sign. I don't fall asleep during shows, so not so good on that second one. It was just boring. It was, like, I keep waiting for, you know... characters with superpowers to show up, and it's a bunch of humans discovering weird things. I don't know. It was. We'll see where it keeps going, but that one dropped a notch for me. So, fall TV's back though. So apparently, cause that's all I've wanted to talk about lately.
Yeah.
All right, video games. Game of the week time. Let's pick through what the community has to say. Verdian has been playing Terraria, which released its 1.2 version out on PC this week. So that's not really up our alley, but I wish I could get into that game. let's see. Nilmar has been playing FIFA 14 and Grand Theft Auto 5. We'll come back to that in a bit because...
What a shocker that a European is playing a soccer game.
And then Aaron's also been playing Grand Theft Auto 5. Online woes and all. We both kind of passed on GTA. Did you find anything intriguing about the GTA Online trailer? Or that the prospect of that?
You know, there's a lot of guys at work that are talking about it. And they're all playing together. So that's like starting to, you know, wear me down a little bit. Because it sounds like they're having a lot of fun. And it sounds like it's pretty cool once they're actually in, I guess. But my stance is if I get it, it'll be on PC if it ever comes out on PC.
Right.
So I'll just deny myself the earthly pleasures of playing GTA 5.
You know, if that game shows up in the spring or early summer next year and, you know, I've got a little bit of a lull, I'll check it out. But I've been getting my fill just watching other people play it, and we'll see where the online stuff's curious, and if we had people playing. But that's the thing with any multiplayer online stuff, you've got to have your crew, and
sure,
working out the timing of having all of you interested at the same time is always usually our struggle. So, you were watching.
Yeah, and I've been watching Andy's streams too. It's cool.
I don't know. Like,
I get my fill through his streams.
Yeah, I'm not a big video game watcher, but that seems to be for the way for me to actually take in that game, because I don't really have an interest to drive around. So. You and I are both hanging out a little bit during Coop's stream last night. His game of the week is Hard Reset. Unexpected awesomeness, satisfying his current corridor itch quite well. What did you think of Hard Reset from what you saw?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would be something that I would want to play, just because I'm not as interested in that type of game as Coop is, for sure. But I think it looked really cool, and he was having a good time. It was your typical corridor shooter, but the boss that he fought near the end before he stopped streaming was pretty crazy. Just like a really tall Dr. Manhattan thing. So, yeah, I mean, again, it wasn't bad watching, but I don't think I'll ever play it.
It's I like the style of that game, and I like shooting robots. So,
yeah, the weapons are really cool in it. I thought really like had a cool design to them.
Cool little upgrade system, because you basically have two types of weapons and you can turn them into anything. And there's a lot going on under the hood of that game. And I heard he was saying it's supposed to be like have a decent length to it. He's like probably only halfway done with it. So, my game of the week, I played a little bit of Castle Story. So, do you know anything about this game?
What is Castle Story?
Castle Story is yet another early access release, so enter at your own discretion. But I think it had a pretty successful Kickstarter. This is a Minecraft cube world kind of game where you have a bunch of minions. These little yellow guys, I forgot the names of the guys, but it's especially like Minecraft, except you build your stuff. Like you're controlling classic Warcraft characters. That's what the interface reminded me of. Like, I'm playing Warcraft 3 and ordering my peons around and telling them to bring back stuff. But I'm also like laying out how I want them to build up my castle. And then in the survival mode, like there's kind of a timer up in the corner that lets you know when you're about to be attacked by whatever creatures are in the land. And I think multiplayer, you kind of play against each other that way, because your workers have different classes. I don't think combat's a major focus, but I could be wrong, because the creation side of it is what drew me to it. Anyway, I played about an hour of it the other night, and I am terrible at it, and I didn't understand it for at least half the time. It's really complicated, but I started to get into it towards the end, and so it has a lot of promise. The reason I picked it up is I had a quick conversation with Ethan, and he'll probably be writing something on the site about the game soon, because he called the game extraordinary, which is a very, very big word for him. So I thought I'd pay attention to it. But so that's out. That came out last week on Early Access, and $20. But if you've gotten into Minecraft, Terraria, those types of games, I think this has the chance of being one of the next ones. So... I gave it a shot. I'm still a little bit overwhelmed. I mean, you and I haven't really got into the creation games, and I've always said it's because I'm afraid I'm going to get sucked in, but it's also, I've talked about before, my kind of paralysis when it comes to actually creating structures in a video game or building things, that I just don't know what I want to build, so I don't build anything.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, but... This Castles game, or Castle Story, reminds me of a game I used to have when I played, when I was a lot younger, called Castles. It was a game by Interplay, and it was basically like a Warcraft kind of style game where you set out a layout of a castle, and you have workers that come and build, and you have to get supply and like resources and all that stuff. So I'd be interested to see if, just looking at some images, it's obviously way better graphically, but... I love that Castles game when I was a kid, so I might be into this.
Yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on it. And then, have you jumped into any early access games at this point?
No, I haven't played any of it.
Because I'm still, and I think a lot of us are going through trying to figure out how to negotiate those games. Like, how much time do you put into it at that early stage versus when it comes out, especially if you really like the game?
Yeah, and I'm at the point where, like, I don't know how I feel about early access at all. Because I don't know, like, I'm the type of gamer who I don't go back to games a lot, and I feel like if I play it enough to where I get tired of it, if I buy it as an early access, then I'll never go back to it when it's the full game. So I'm kind of wary of doing that, just personally. You know?
Yep, well, I totally get it. All right, moving on. What have you been playing? What's your game of the week?
So the game, I actually haven't played a whole lot of games lately. Last week is, I don't know, just other stuff came up. But in the past couple weeks, I've been playing quite a bit of Evoland. And Evoland is a RPG, not surprisingly, that starts off like as a Game Boy RPG, and then you find treasure chests that like level up your graphics and your abilities and stuff like that. So right now I'm on like a 3D polygonal graphics that I just got pre-rendered backgrounds. And the pre-rendered backgrounds were like really pixelated and stuff, and then I just upgraded those last night to pre-rendered HD backgrounds. So yeah, it's kind of funny, like the way you fight is. Well, I'll go to your question before.
I was gonna say, I don't understand how the upgrade system works, because this whole thing is basically an homage to like all RPGs throughout history. It's supposed to show the evolution of all of them.
Sure.
So do you upgrade like a piece at a time? I kind of thought it was gonna say, like, after you finish the 8-bit quest, all of a sudden you're playing the 16-bit game, and then onward.
No, it's way faster than that. Way faster. So like basically there's these treasure chests that are littered throughout the land, and every time you open up a treasure chest, you get a new map, you get a new background, you get a new battle style, you get a new ability to walk diagonally. Like it's you get better music, you get, you know, you go from like 8-bit music to 16-bit orchestra music to like CD quality music to just all these different things are basically locked inside a treasure chest, and you just basically walk up to a treasure chest, open it, and then your game suddenly changes. So it goes from, you know, two-color Game Boy style to Final Fantasy VII style pretty quickly. So it's not like you're stuck in those eras for very long. Mm-hmm. And I actually like the turn-based part of it a lot better than the... or not the turn-based. I like the action RPG style, like the Zelda style, a little bit better than the turn-based. It just seems kind of boring. And the random battles are really... they're not very far apart, mm-hmm. or space far apart. So you're like, take a step, fight, take a step, fight, take a step, fight. And that's kind of... that's really annoying. It kind of got me to stop playing it. but I enjoyed up to that point where the graphics got better and better, and like music and gameplay and stuff.
Cool.
So I don't know how deep I am or how long the game even is, but it's just, I don't know. I think it's cool for what it is, but it's not something I would recommend to a lot of people.
I was thinking about it. Like I feel like you might be the target audience for the game. Just you've played RPGs all, you know, throughout the years.
Yeah.
But like, in some regards, everybody's going to hit a point in that game where it has an era of RPGs that they just can't stand, and so like it's just like you're waiting for that roadblock to come, and I was kind of curious what everybody's would be.
Yeah, and I think you would get some enjoyment out of it. You definitely get, obviously, the nostalgia part of things. And like I said, it moves pretty quickly. And there are some, like, there was one point last night when I was playing where, and I thought it was very, very clever. You pissed me off, but it was supposed to piss me off, mm-hmm. where you go to one town's member and they say, oh, you got to go talk to this town's member, and they're on the other side of town. And they're like, oh, go to this town's member on the other side of town to ask them about this, and then go back. And it's just like, you assholes, I know why you did this. It's funny. I get it. but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of
But that's the reaction they wanted, you know.
Yeah.
So there's some clever parts, but I don't, it's like I said, it's not.
I always wondered if Evo Land is a better game in describing the game versus actually playing it. So
yeah, I think you might be right.
It reminds me of, I always describe South Park that way, and that, like, the, you can go through each episode, and giving the two-line description of the episode is actually usually funnier than going through the 30-minute episode, like, sitting through it. So, it's like, oh, yeah, that concept's really clever. That's awesome. I like, but then seeing that stretched out sometimes doesn't live up to the description, so... I've got Evo Land in my queue somewhere. I'm sure in the middle of the night sometime I'll give it a shot. But I'm glad you played it, because like I said, that seemed to be almost targeted at you. So
yeah, it really was.
All right, HorribleNight.com highlights. What you got?
I really enjoyed Gifford's flashback review. The retro remake of Flashback that came out in like the early 90s, I think, for Super Nintendo, and maybe Genesis, I'm not sure. It seemed like he liked the game, and his, again, like, there was an, if we had a review score on it, there would be an issue of like trying to rectify what the review score was to what actually the content of the article is, but the more I read it, the more interested I got into Flashback, and until he got to a point where he said, if you're going in thinking this is going to be like Shadow Complex,
yeah,
do not play this game. I said, all right, that's a perfect review for me, because it told me exactly what I needed to hear and wanted to hear, and it helped me make my decision. So, yeah, I just thought it was, you know, I don't get a lot of reviews that have that specific draw to me, you know, or that specific point to me, and that was definitely one. So
we'll have to tell Gifford to play more games that you're interested in, so
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, his
compare them to games that I love, and then I won't buy them.
His comparison to Shadow Complex surprised me, but after like actually looking at the game, I got it, and yeah, that would definitely be in my head trying to play the new version. I actually played a while back the prequel to Flashback, Out of This World / Another World. They did a little HD.
Yeah, because that just came out. Yeah.
Yeah, they did an HD remake of that, but it was just they didn't really redesign it. It was just better. It was just graphics on top of the original game, and it sounds like they actually changed Flashback up a little bit. So, but he said it still was kind of true to the original, and I really like the original on Super Nintendo. But you got to be in the mood for those games too. They're kind of the pacing of them is pretty deliberate, I'd say.
Sure.
I'll give a shout out to Nicole from Pure Geekery. Submitted another iPad game review. She went back and played Knights of the Old Republic, and I have not been brave enough to try this on a non PC or non console, because that game is everywhere now. But yeah, she said it. You know, the game's still a great game, but it just was never meant for touch, and she just. Her problem was whenever she was touching the screen to move around, she couldn't see, like, her hand was in the way of what she wanted to see, and it was just a constant battle of covering up the screen versus, you know, being able to actually play it. So, it sounded frustrating, but this is her second iPad review, and I think you'll see probably one a month from her as we continue to kind of work together. I'll be writing a few kind of TV show reviews for their site coming up, but so just nice little guest post, and check out puregeekery.net if you enjoy her writing. Okay, next up, worst of the week in gaming. Let's check in with the community here. Nilmar, worst of the week is Grand Theft Auto 5 Online not working correctly and FIFA 14 crashing a lot. So lots of fun there, and he's also waiting on his gaming computer to come in. So, and then let's see. Coop's worst of the week is that the makers of Candy Crush filed for an IPO this week. He said another evil company is brewing, and I've been calling it Zynga 2.0. And then Verdian and Aaron all share your worst of the week. So why don't you talk us through that?
Yeah, so yesterday, or was it yesterday? I think it came out that Mr. Tom Clancy passed away. And he, you know, I don't know how much involvement he had with video games in terms of, like, creating them or being on the developer side, but his name was on a lot of great video games in the past, and stuff that I played a lot, like the early Splinter Cells, and I think Rainbow Six is probably...
Yeah, that's what... I think that's what I
remembered by a lot more people than even, like, the Splinter Cells or even the Hawks games that Gifford and...
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Nathan likes so much, but... you know, I don't think he's been really involved with games outside of licensing his name, you know, for a long time. So I don't know. It's just sad to see such a prolific author pass away. Mm-hmm. Somebody that had a part of video games, but
he wasn't too old either, right?
No, he was only 66. Yeah. And there hasn't been any word on why he might have passed away. If it was just his time or some disease or something like that. But
yeah,
I know his son is into video game development, so...
Like, I was always so curious what his opinion of, like, how involved he was in those original games versus... I'm assuming he wasn't too involved in the later ones. Maybe his son was more involved, but just, like... I mean, you know, when an author starts off like that... what was the quote I saw that... He made it okay for men to read books again or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And but just knowing that never, you know, probably never in his wildest imagination would video games have been in his mind when he started writing, and just sure. How much of an impact he's had on video games it's kind of crazy versus where that all started. So
yeah, and how many franchises have his name attached to it is pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Now, I'll just laugh at that comment in chat. It's for the live audience there. My worst of the week is just there was something else that was kind of annoying me about game coverage this week. But anytime I see coverage of video game movies, especially anything related to somebody just picking up the option to do the movie, or like, you know, potential actors working on things, or a script is out, or anything that is before they've actually started production of this movie, I don't give a shit about, and they shouldn't be allowed to report on. And so the latest one this week was that the Warcraft movie, excuse me, has picked a release date in December of 2015. I was like, you don't have a director. You don't have any actors attached to the movie. You're not starting it. I don't care yet, because none of these movies ever get made. So,
yeah, it's. I don't know about that either. I don't care.
Yeah. So it was just all over the place. Kind of bugged me. So apparently more than Tom Clancy's death, but that's that's me. Best of the week in gaming. Okay, we are going to close strong with some Nintendo, so hold on to your butts in the chat. From the chat, Nilmar's best of the week is that he's finally getting his gaming computer. We've been... and then Grand Theft Auto V when it works. But yeah, I think even coming up to these console releases, we've been more in the boat of recommending upgrade your computer now, see where the console wars, how they shake out that first year or two. And... hope that upgrade goes well for you, Nilmar. Coop's best of the week is finding out that there's going to be a beta for Destiny in early 2014. He has already pre-ordered his PlayStation 4, so he went ahead and pre-ordered a copy of Destiny. So, which got me thinking that I forgot that was a console exclusive. That has no PC released announced. So,
wait, is that the Bungie one?
Yes. That's the one I was Like, I haven't... Like, I'm not on the Titanfall hype train, but it sounds like any time anybody gets their hands on it, you quickly jump to that hype train. But Destiny continues to be the next-gen game of choice for me, so I'm pretty excited for it, too.
I always get those mixed up for some reason.
Halo Borderlands. So.
Yeah, I just haven't played either one of them, so I can't distinguish them, I guess.
Aaron's best of the week, he chipped in to kickstart Mighty No. 9. And Shantae Half Genie Hero this week in their final hours. My number 9, I think they hit pretty much all their stretch goals. So here comes more Mega Man. And then,
did you see the Unreal Engine demo of it?
Yeah, but I didn't know what to make of that. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for. I kind of want them to do a version of the game where you can flip between retro graphics and. Standard graphics, so, but that's maybe that should have been a stretch goal. And then Verdean's best of the week is that the Steam controller looks pretty great, although I don't see myself playing an FPS with it. But it is the best a controller can do, I guess. And more Steam family sharing beta invites have been sent out, indicating the service is going to be released soon. So. Some new information there. First on the family sharing, I guess it works more like having multiple profiles. It's more for somebody that shares their computer locally with other family members, perhaps, so you can quickly just swap profiles and get to your games that way, but also share them across the machine with other family members, more so than kind of how I was picturing it, was with sharing it with a friend, like, across the country. So it's more geared towards that. And then we'll have more on the Steam controller. We have a conversation going offline about it. We'll be posting that Friday, I believe. So we'll get to the Steam controller. But Cole, what's your best of the week?
My best of the week is a two-parter. They're interrelated, though. Aaron buying a Wii U is my best of the week.
It's your fault.
Because finally, he bought one. And basically, he bought one because of Wind Waker HD that got released digitally. And I think it comes out this week.
It's retail
box copy. So we've been playing. You've been playing it online. I've been playing it in the privacy of my own home.
It's ugly, isn't it?
And it's terrible. Like, that's the thing. And I haven't played it on the TV yet. I've only been playing it on the gamepad. Just because that we use the living room and my wife's been watching TV. And I was like, yeah, she's not watching the show I'm interested in, so let's fire up some Wind Waker. But holy shit. Like, and I just played it, you know, less than a year ago on the GameCube or the Wii/GameCube. And just the amount of visual upgrades they did is pretty incredible. Just with the lighting alone, I think, is amazing, with the shadows and just, you know, all that stuff. So,
can I get
It's a beautiful game.
Can Nintendo give me a subscription to, like, HD versions of all of their games every generation? Like, if they just... Like, I was thinking about this. Like, if they just keep, like, you know, go back to the GameCube, go to your 3D, your polygonal games, just, like, just upgrade the graphics to the next gen every time you have a new console, and I will.
Except for Super Mario Sunshine.
Well, that doesn't. That's not a real. That's not a real game.
Don't
that's,
touch it.
That's but not
Galaxy. Like the Galaxies, I know people have been talking about how good they look with the Dolphin emulator.
Yeah.
I will fucking buy them on the eShop if you release both of them.
I mean, I guess I'm at the point where, you know, all my Wii U anger has just, you know, it's gone. It's packaged up elsewhere. I understand, like, this isn't a system I recommend to very many people. But if we're gonna just go full bore, this is a Nintendo first party system, then just give it to me.
Own it.
Just own it. Flood of re-releases. Just give me the options to the whole library. Give me some sort of subscription where I can get to everything, and you will continue to get my money. Speaking of which, I determined that I think... I still gotta go through the whole list, but right now, off the top of my head, Super Mario 3D World might be the game I'm most excited for in the next couple months.
Dude, especially after that trailer on Monday. Holy shit.
I was
blown away.
I'm just saying, I've made it well known on the site that I'm not a fan of cats. So I was worried about Cat Mario, but I'm all in.
Goomba cats.
It was just a zany, happy video game trailer, and there was just like, I don't know, it hit the right tone with me, and I am just really excited for that game. Both you and I really like the 3D Land on the 3DS,
yes.
So, and I'm looking forward to the local multiplayer on this, and it got me excited about, like I said, Nintendo's kind of HD graphics, like everything they're doing with their style.
Looks
good.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what the new Wii U Zelda looks like just with HD graphics.
Please just keep going with the Wind Waker stuff. Go with that style. And also Goomba cats. We have to give a shout out to the Goomba cats because that blew my fucking mind. Okay, we're gonna get out of here. One last question after the show. We're gonna try out some Diablo 3, and you and I were having conversations trying to pick the multiplayer game, and I'm kind of curious as to why we're jumping to Diablo 3 first versus, say, Torchlight 2, because you're not the biggest, point-and-click action RPG guy. But this is kind of the game you've been edging to. What's your thought process there?
I think a lot of it has to do with it being released on PS3 and Xbox 360, honestly.
So hype train decision?
Yeah, hype train decision. And I really enjoyed the first Torchlight, and I just haven't played Torchlight 2 yet. But the Diablo 3 has that free trial of Starter Edition, mm-hmm. So jumped on that. And I'd written about it over a year ago when it came out, trying to play it on my iMac.
You had that honest, I'm going to play through Diablo 3, and we're gonna document this.
And it was just too hard to do on the iMac, and it looked like shit, and it was slow. And then, got the new PC, and I totally forgot about it until it started coming out again for PS3 and Xbox. And wanted to give it another shot, and, played it for an hour last night, and basically got to the same spot I had gotten before on the iMac. Yeah, because I still had my character that I was playing before, too. So
the one benefit of all their online connectivity.
Yeah. It's stored on your character. So it was pretty cool. And now it's working.
Yeah. I will say that
bullshit.
Diablo 3, October 3rd, 2013, Diablo 3 works. It took him a while, because I think I made, I tried the game, tried to go back to the game maybe 2 or 3 months ago, and just on a whim loaded it up, and happened to load it up during one of their network outages. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because I had the worst launch week luck with that game, so... And we've talked about that extensively, but that's it for tonight's podcast. Thanks for everybody that submitted your answers. We appreciate it. Give us some love on iTunes if you like the show, and we will be back again next week. We'll see you then.